Please welcome accomplished pitcher and popular broadcaster, Steve Stone.
Yes.
Steve Stone.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
I draw throw and throw down.
No way.
He never tagged him.
He stopped short of the bag to avoid the tag. What a slide.
Ooh, put on the brakes. Chase, nice job.
What a slide.
Cy Young Award winner.
Hello again, everybody. Harry Carey and Steve Stone. We're at Wrigley Field.
It is Ryan Sandberg Day. They're honoring perhaps one of the greatest second basemen in baseball history.
Line shot in the left field. Sandberg single to left.
Well, Cairo is loosening up, and it looked like Cairo will come in and pinch run for Rhino, and they'll allow Rhino to get a final standing ovation.
Now listen to this. Listen to this. That's what they should have done in the ninth inning yesterday. Everybody on their feet. Look at that. Does that tell you a story about the man's popularity? What a way to end a spectacular 15-year career.
Hey, hey, I want to be a rock star.
Oh, I want to be a rock star.
Stone with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking with Stoney. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. The Cubs and the Sox will be playing tonight on the South Side. For those of you who do not have cable and you do not stream, you can actually watch the game on WCIU if you want to see the White Sox call of the game, a new 7-game deal between WCIU and CHSN and the White Sox. Hey, Stoney.
Lawrence, how you doing? You know, you guys played that clip, and it reminded me of something that I had forgotten. I loved when Harry said, listen to the crowd, and then he talked over it. It was just wonderful. It was one of the real endearing things that Harry did. You know, listen to the crowd, and then he kept on talking. So that was good.
Stoney, you've lived so many lives, and it's amazing. Like, when this week when we were talking about Ozzy Osbourne, if you go back and watch the video of him singing the seventh inning stretch, there's Steve Stone standing there marveling at what was going on. Do you remember that, and what was going through your head if you do?
Well, I remember it clearly for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the whole thing when he messed up, you know, take me out to the ball game, that was an act. First of all, he's a professional singer, as we know. And he was a wonderful singer, and I certainly love Black Sabbath. But also, he had the words that were taped right on the monitor that was right in front of him. So if he wanted to sing those words, he could have. But he chose not to because he wanted to make it a show. And Ozzy was nothing if not a showman. And also, something that I don't think people realize, because let's face it, I've been fortunate to be able to meet a great many people through baseball, whether it's going to the White House and meeting a number of presidents or meeting luminaries, you know, music people, actors and whatever. But Ozzy and Sharon were two of the nicest people that ever came to the booth. It was unbelievable. I would have never have thought of that because he had this crazy reputation and he was a little bit different. But they went and thanked everybody in the booth for allowing them to come up there. They were just so sweet and so kind. It left an indelible impression on me. And I've told this story a number of different times, obviously, before Ozzy passed away and when he had his reality show, one of the first reality shows, by the way, which was somewhat unusual. But, yeah, I've been very fortunate to be able to meet a lot of people that I never would have met were it not for baseball.
Stoney, one of the guys that you got to watch so much of, and Tanny had the clip in there in the open about Ryan Sandberg. A lot of the baseball community in conversation and in touch with each other about Rhino and his health. And I wonder what you think about as those conversations have been ongoing about the greatness that you got to watch for so long.
Well, first of all, I thought he was a terrific guy, and we played golf a number of times together. I remember playing in a number of tournaments with him, and he was a pretty good golfer, so it was that was kind of nice. It's just anytime you're making the battle that he's trying to make, it's a very difficult thing, and I always really liked him and respected him. You know, it was interesting because there is a story that probably hasn't been told near enough, and it had to do with Dallas Green, who always said he would have never made the Philadelphia trade if Ryan Sandberg wasn't included in that. But there's another side to the story. There was a super scout by the name of Huey Alexander who always followed Dallas wherever he went. And Huey used to be a great baseball player. He actually lost a hand and became a wonderful scout. And he was the guy in the middle of making that deal. And the initial guy that Dallas wanted was Louis Aguayo. And there was no way they were going to make him because they were getting Ivan De Jesus back. Larry Bowe was coming to the Cubs. And they didn't want to trade Louis Aguayo because of something. If something happened, Louis was going to be their number one shortstop. If you know that didn't work out quite what they wanted the way it to work out. So it was not necessarily Sandberg because the reports on Sandberg were that he probably didn't have the arm for a major league shortstop. And you know what? They were right. However, the reports didn't say he's going to the Hall of Fame as a major league second baseman. Because if you remember when he got to the Cubs, he was a third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they played him first. But he didn't have that great arm. He had a good enough arm. He had a plus arm probably for second, but a minus arm for both third and for short. But as it turned out, Dallas did make the deal. He wanted Larry Bowa on the team. He got Ryan Sandberg as the extra man in the deal, and that worked out really well for the Cubs and for Rhino and for everybody associated with Chicago baseball because he was just a wonderful man, still is a wonderful man, and just a great player.
Steve Stone with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. Cubs Sox tonight on the South Side. The White Sox have won 5 out of 6. What has impressed you most about the team in this run here?
Well, I think there's a couple of different things. And one is, you know, last year when they set the all-time modern record for losses, you looked at that team and you realized there wasn't a whole lot of people you could bring forward. In other words, what you had last year was what you had pretty much, and obviously it didn't work out real well. Looking at the team this year, one of the first things you noticed is, number one, they had some very young players. And now you're starting to notice that they have some guys that they can bring forward. Mydroth appears to me to be a major league second baseman. I would think that Montgomery at this point, especially after taking that time off and reworking his stroke and getting the footwork down that he needed at shortstop and everything else, looked like Colson Montgomery is going to be the everyday shortstop. So there's a couple of guys that you look for that they really, you know, they weren't here last year. You couldn't view them being part of the future, but you can now. Vargas, after changing his hand position, has shown that he's got some skills and it looks like he's going to be able to go forward with the team. Last year, he couldn't do much. In the beginning of this year, he didn't do much. And all of a sudden, they changed the hand position and things turned out well. So there's a lot of younger players that you say to yourself, you know what, there's a chance. Taylor is one of those guys. You don't know where he's going to be. My personal preference would be in the back end of the bullpen because I think there's an inordinate amount of talented starters in this group. Plus, they got a couple more in the minor leagues who are pretty good also. One of the things they don't have is those couple of back-end bullpen guys, that premier setup man, that premier closer that you really need, and I think Taylor is one of those guys that could probably do that, but that remains to be seen. We'll see exactly what happens. But I think we've seen good young pitching. It's getting better. The team is starting to play. The interesting part about it is, with Tauchman back and healthy in the leadoff spot and Mydroff hitting second, Luis Robert is starting to hit, and all of a sudden this team looks like they're a fairly solid baseball team. I'm not going to call them a good baseball team because they're far from that at this point. However, they're starting to show some signs that there has been some progress, that what the front office was telling us and the additions to the front office as far as talent evaluators are concerned have really started to look pretty good. And the trades that Chris Getz has made, that Boston trade is going to turn out to be a wonderful trade for both teams, which is what you're looking for. And so there's some young guys who you can view going forward with a couple of additions here and there, and we'll see what comes out of this draft.
The starter tonight, bringing in Adrian Hauser, looks like it can be something really good for the White Sox, too, because he's been great this year, and you would imagine that they are fielding phone calls about him from from teams that are in a position to compete. What's been the reason why Hauser's been so good?
Well, he changed a lot of different things. He changed his body. He changed his diet. He did a lot of different things, and he went over and reworked his pitching motion, and all of a sudden, he's added a couple more miles an hour. The command is what's been so impressive about him. It looks like he can throw the ball exactly where he wants it anytime he wants to do that. And, you know, he had some pretty good moments with Milwaukee. He wasn't the pitcher he's been in these starts for the Sox, but he was a pretty good pitcher. I think he was 10-6 one year. He was pretty decent, and they had a lot of talented arms at the time. Then he fell on some hard times and all of a sudden reworked things. And now I would think Chris Getz is getting a cauliflower ear from talking on the phone about Adrian Hauser. For me, you tell me one contending team that couldn't use probably a high number two as far as the starter is concerned. And I think Hauser has been that, and maybe a low number one. I mean, he's been so good in his starts here that you'd say to yourself, you know, this was a 1.3 million gamble, which in today's dollars in baseball is very, very low. And so you took a big gamble, and now you've won that gamble. I would think, and I don't know for sure because I have no more insight into the mind of Chris Getz and what he's thinking about, nor what he's been offered for Hauser, but I would think this would be his last start as far as the White Sox are concerned, because if I'm a contending team, I want to get as many starts as I possibly can out of him, and hopefully he can be the same guy that he's been since he put on a White Sox uniform, because he hasn't been good, he's been great.
Stoney, great to have you back. I will see you over the weekend, and have a wonderful weekend for Cubs Sox. Should be fun.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be great, and I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully Mother Nature cooperates. And have a good show, guys. I'll talk to you down the road.